We're talking with a kidney bean processor and supplier here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So family-owned Chippewa Valley Bean, headquartered in Menominee, describes itself as the largest processor and exporter of kidney beans in North America, exporting more than 70% of its product around the globe. But inconsistent rains have reduced this year's harvest. We'll get to that. What do you want to know about Wisconsin's kidney bean production and export business? It's 800-642-1234. Charles Walksmith is vice president of Chippewa Valley Bean. Charles, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. Give us some backstory, if you would. Tell us about how Chippewa Valley Bean got established, you know, growing and processing kidney beans in Wisconsin.
Well, I can reach way back on that. My maternal side of the family, that's the Doan side, settled in Dunn County in 1858. And they really were an all-around farm, row crops and animals up through when my grandfather, Russell Doan, planted his first crop of kidney beans in 1969. And at that point, they decided that they would like to then process the product that was growing on our farm. So in 1972 or 73, Chippewa Valley Bean was founded.
That first crop changed everything, changed the whole direction of the farm.
It did. You know, at that time, he was looking for something that would that he could do besides corn or soybeans, just because he felt that in West Central Wisconsin, we were not going to compete with, you know, the belt of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and places like that. So we needed a higher value crop for our area.
Are there climate challenges in growing kidney beans here?
Well, there are challenges in general with kidney beans. Like if you think about when you open up a can of kidney bean and pour it out, what you want to see is a solid field of that beautiful red mahogany color. And so if you see the interior of the meat of the bean, that means there's a cracked seed coat. And so the real challenge in kidney beans is harvesting to make sure you do not damage that beautiful seed. We're actually in a really good place in West Central Wisconsin and a little bit north through Minnesota in that our cool nights allow for a really good growing season for kidney beans.
It's fascinating that you say the uniformity of kidney beans, because when I look at kidney beans, when I make my chili, I think about how the beans are so uniform. They look alike. Not one is misshapen. Do you have like massive quality control, or are all kidney beans just naturally like that?
We do have massive quality control, but what you're seeing in the shape of that is just genetics.
Okay.
We do have multiple varieties that do have a slightly different shape from our, what we know as the traditional kidney shape to more of a capsule tube shape. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, the standard variety is what's called a Montcalm, and that does have that distinctive kidney shape.
So what states harvest the most dark red kidney beans?
Far and away it is in Minnesota, and we are actually, we joke around that we are in the worst place for a kidney bean processing facility. We're on the far eastern side of the growing area. Mm. Traditionally, they started growing them in New York and Michigan and California, and then really through the 70s and 80s, that production moved to Wisconsin and Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is far and away the largest growing region for kidney beans.
We're talking with Charles Walksmith about the kidney bean industry, a processing supplier based in Menominee. You can join in. Are you a kidney bean grower? What's the season been like for your crops? Have you noticed a change in production? Join in at 800-642-1234. So you export the vast majority of these beans, dozens of countries. How has the pandemic affected your ability to export?
Oh, it's been very difficult. You know, once everything locked down, people were really doing a lot of shopping from home, and that put a lot of stress on container movement around the world. Add to that truckers and things like that. Truckers getting sick, that meant there were less trucks going. It's been challenging. On the plus side, though, as you look at people being in lockdown and looking for nutritional, delicious, shelf-stable foods, kidney beans and beans in general were flying off the shelf. So we had a lot of orders that got moved forward, and people stocked their pantries.
I've talked with some small businesses before in other industries that are now very successful exporters of their goods who've told me that the U.S. Export-Import Bank has really helped them greatly in moving their product around the world and finding and getting established in different markets and lines of credit and so forth for foreign customers. Has that ever been the case for your company? How did you break into world markets?
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture and DATCAP. They were really helpful getting our export business off the ground. We also work with the Midwest Food Exporters for help in grants and getting things like setting up for a show. We're at the largest food trade fair in the world this year at Anuga. I'm currently speaking to you from Cologne, Germany. But yeah, for small businesses, reach out to see what the state level has for you, because everybody wants to help you. The state really wants you to be successful. And I can't say enough about our DATCAP here in Wisconsin.
So can you tell us a little bit about where these kidney beans go once they leave you in Menominee?
Well, how do you want me to answer that? How they move, like, literally, or where they end up and what they do?
Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of let us follow the life of your kidney bean, if you will. Take us on this tour, on this road trip. Well, it might not be a road trip, though. You probably go by sea as well.
Well, let me go way back then. The majority of kidney bean seed comes from the western states, Idaho, places like that, because their arid growing conditions means less disease on the seed. We then distribute that to our farmers in Minnesota and Wisconsin who grow it and ship it to Chippewa Valley Bean. We process it. And at that point, the majority of our stuff gets put on a 20-foot container and taken up to the rail yard in Minneapolis. After that, it'll go east or west. The majority of our product goes out of the Port of Montreal and puts on a ship, makes it to its destination country, and then gets canned.
So it gets canned, you know, once it reaches its destination.
Yeah. We do not
that's
do
fascinating.
Any of that here in the United States. So if you think of canners in our area, you know, Wisconsin has a long history of canning vegetables, including beans. So you've got Seneca down in the Janesville area. Bush Brothers has a plant in Augusta, Wisconsin. And so the beans are soaked and sorted and then canned at these facilities.
The Trump administration had enacted tariffs on European products, and Europe responded with a 25% tariff on U.S. egg products. What impact have tariffs had on kidney beans?
The biggest, of course, is that my competitors around the world who grow kidney beans get 24% more value for their product. The impact is along the lines of United States agriculture, kidney bean farmers have not made as much money as what they should have. The world market is for kidney beans is at a certain level. And because of the tariffs, you know, we could have brought a lot more value back to the Midwest without them. It's been very difficult. And even if you look at the impact of in the United States, you know, these were steel and aluminum tariffs. And so if you raise the price of steel and aluminum, you also raise the price of canned goods here at home. So it's been a double impact. It's been an impact on our buyers in the EU, especially because they pay more for the beans, but it's also been an impact for our customers in the United States because they pay more for their cans.
There's that ripple effect.
It's huge. Even down to the line where we were looking to put up more storage so we could bring in more, you know, add on more growers and bring in more kidney beans. But with the price of steel, our capital improvement costs have went way up.
Charles Walksmith with us, Vice President at Chippewa Valley Bean, rapidly growing processor and distributor of kidney beans to dozens of markets around the world. Are you a kidney bean grower? What has it been like for you? Have you noticed changes in production? What do you want to know about the kidney bean industry? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Charles Walksmith here on the Ideas Network. We're We're learning about Wisconsin's kidney bean industry here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Chippewa Valley Bean is a global market leader in dark red kidney bean production based in Menominee. According to the USDA's dry bean market report published yesterday, dark red kidney bean prices remain steady at $44 to $49 per hundredweight. That's the standard unit of weight for this commodity. Charles Walksmith watches market prices closely, I would imagine, as vice president of Chippewa Valley Bean, with us for about 9 more minutes. Charles, do the market prices remain pretty steady, or are they prone to fluctuations?
Well, like any agricultural good, we do have fluctuations. Depending on the year, is it going to be a short crop or a long crop? We're also very dependent on what the world market does with our friendly competitors to the north in Canada, or, you know, countries like Argentina grow a lot of beans too. If you're really interested, what we'll look at coming here soon is we do believe that we will see tariff relief within the next year or so. We've been closely talking to the U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Tai, and there's an indication that those tariffs will go. And if that's the case, you're going to see a big spike as the Europeans really buy, and then you'll see it come back down. But yeah, it fluctuates, but it's always a good value to bring back to the grower.
Is there a dried bean futures market?
There is not. Okay. We are not big enough for that.
I was just curious.
There are a lot of kidney beans grown. There's a lot of beans grown in the Midwest, but we are the distant small stepchild or step cousin of, like, say, soybeans.
Chicago's not pounding on your door, right?
No, they're not. No.
All right. Well,
maybe the Des Moines Board of Trade or something like that.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about weather, kidney bean harvest, and drought. What have conditions been like for far southeastern and northwestern Wisconsin with little rain?
Well, what we saw this year is if you went out and looked at the kidney beans in early August, they were beautiful. You know, most of our kidney beans are growing on irrigated sands. They like dry feet, and they like to be, you know, they're high enough value product that you want to keep water on them. And so we were barely able to keep up on irrigation this year, and the plants looked wonderful until the harvesters started to get out there, and you would see these pods that were supposed to have 6 or 7 beans in them. But once you opened up the pod, there were 3 or 4. And that extreme heat we had caused the plant to cannibalize those seeds and put that energy back into the plant itself.
So what does that mean for your production if your farmers are just not able to supply you with the amount of beans that you typically need?
Well, you know, it's not like I'll explain a little bit of how this works. So we go out to our growers and we offer them a contract, and it is a per acre contract. And so the grower, it's usually 14 bags, 1400 weight per acre is what the contracted price is. So it's a full production contract. So the grower will then bring us their overage as well. So in Wisconsin, we usually see yields, 20 to 24 bags per acre.
Okay.
So then that grower has the option of pricing those extra 10 bags when they want to. So from a sales perspective, we only go out and sell those first 14 bags because that's what we know we're going to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go out and try and sell that overage until the crop's in the bin.
I see. We have a call in here. Couldn't stay with us. Shaney from New Richmond wants to know that if you sell dry beans, would that be a way to avoid the tariffs?
Nope. It's dry edible beans. So we ship the dry beans to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's too expensive really to ship a canned bean overseas because you're shipping all that weight in the water and the can itself. So no, these go out in big 1 metric ton totes.
So if there is a farmer that would want to plant kidney beans or to try out this crop, what would you say?
We're always excited to work with new growers. We're really making an effort to develop new growing regions in Wisconsin. We've got some great growers now over in the Central Sands area and that big vegetable and potato production area. And we're happy to help. You know, we're the only processor in Wisconsin. So if they gave us a call, our number is 715-664-8342. I'll have one of my agronomists speak to them. We're going to talk to them about their soil type and if they have irrigation and what they have for equipment. And then we'll do our best to make sure they're successful.
In terms of water, how much water does it take to grow kidney beans?
Well, that's very dependent on the weather.
Okay.
It's usually about 90 to 100 gallons, but you know, that depends on the year. The one metric we always use for this when we promote kidney beans is that it takes, you know, right around 100 gallons of water to produce a pound of kidney beans versus it takes about 1800 gallons of water to produce a pound of meat. So that's our beans.
A comparison. We're talking with Charles Walksmith, who works in the kidney bean processing industry. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Louie in Oconto. Hi, Louie.
Yes, I have two questions, one about the weather and then one about, you were just talking about the tariffs that have been on for probably at least 3-4 years. Do you think the farmers have been voting differently because they've been so affected bottom line in their pocketbook with the tariffs? And second question, how does the Minnesota drought affect the kidney beans, or are they grown in a different area of Minnesota?
Thank you, Louis. So political and climate.
Okay, so the first one, you know, it's tough to say if people were switching their votes. I think some might have, but it seemed if you were a fan of the past administration, you were a fan of the past administration, and some tariffs probably didn't affect you that much. As for the Minnesota drought, we definitely saw impacts on those dry land beans. Those beans really suffered. But like I mentioned earlier, kidney beans are often grown, in fact, mainly grown under irrigation. And so there was some worry, I believe, that the Minnesota Department of Agriculture was going to put on some pumping limits. And if they had, that would have been bad.
You know, Charles, Wisconsin Economic Developers, and I know you mentioned the Ag Department, they're continually working to support the ag industry and lifting up rural communities so that they can stop those populations from shrinking. What would help you the most to keep thriving in Menominee?
Wow, that's a very big question right there. You know, we would like to see education keep moving forward. We're very lucky that in Menominee we have UW Stout. We're very close to the Chippewa Valley Technical Colleges and UW Eau Claire. But you know, increased investment with the K-12s, because you know, working at Chippewa Valley Bean, a high school diploma used to be all you needed. But as things change and as we get more education is always necessary. We want to see a very healthy population. And, that's a big one. You got me kind of stumped there, Kate.
That's sorry. Okay. That's all right. Let's go to Jeff in Delafield. How about? Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Did you have concerns with the amount of irrigation depleting groundwater in the Central Sands? And also, is there a lot of fertilizer that goes into the beans that could contribute to groundwater nitrate issues? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Good questions.
So answering that, we're actually funding a study with UW Madison looking at nitrates in beans and what amounts we need versus what amounts we might lose to the soil. So that is a big concern. And we're looking to make sure that we aren't impacting groundwater supplies. As for the amount pumped over there by those guys, that is something I know. We belong to Wisconsin Potato Vegetable Growers, and that is a big topic for those guys. You know, one thing we talk about with agriculture ourselves, and if you talk to many growers of anything around the state, is we want to make sure we leave our land as good, if not better, than we found it. That's really, if you talk to a farmer about sustainability, that's what it is. You know, we want to make sure that land is there for the generations that follow us.
Well, we only have a few seconds left, Charles, but I'm wondering, you're in Germany at this trade fair. What have you learned there about new economic perspectives, business practices?
Well, as of that, nothing right now. We just did our setup today. What okay. I've learned is that they take their COVID hygiene, mask wearing, and everything else much more seriously than we do back home. And, you know, you were seeing here in Germany a lot of the same fears that we see in the United States. You're seeing shipments causing delays or logistics problems, and everybody's a little bit worried about the future and what this is going to bring out.
Charles, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Appreciate it. Charles Walksmith, Vice President of Chippewa Valley Bean, based in Menominee. Ahead this hour, we look up at the night sky and we anticipate the fall meteor shower season. What would you like to ask the longtime astronomer about viewing meteor showers? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.